Will it be repentance that keeps you out of hell? Find out the answer to that question and much more on today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm so glad that you've decided to join us today. Currently, we're in a series of broadcasts called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. It just so happens that we also have a book by that same title, and I'm going to tell you how to get a copy at the end of this broadcast, so stay tuned for that. I'm really excited about today's discussion because I think it has the potential to free us from the burden of faulty thinking. Here's today's Grace in Focus discussion.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We are talking about some of the most misunderstood words in the Bible, and we have specifically been talking about the word repentance, and we'd like to continue that discussion. Now, here's the problem. Most people think that repentance and faith are the two conditions that you need to be born again. The problem is repentance means turning away from your sins. So if you have to turn away from your sins plus believe in order to be born again, then that's salvation by works. And we know absolutely that we are saved by faith apart from works. So the question is, what do we do with repentance? What is repentance really about? And we have been suggesting that although repentance is crucial, although it's very important, although Jesus preached it, it is not a condition to be born again. It has another purpose, right, Bob?
You know, you use the butterfly illustration. Well, let's use the lifesaver illustration. You know, you've seen the lifesavers that they have on boats where they have a round styrofoam piece that can save you if you're in the water, right? It'll keep you from drowning. It's called a lifesaver. Well, repentance is a lifesaver.
All right.
It saves a person from drowning as a result of his or her sin.
So basically, repentance, we've been arguing, has to do with your life in the here and now. It's about avoiding the deadly consequences of sin. It's about avoiding God's temporal judgment. It's about avoiding the death, basically physical death, as a result of your bad choices.
Yeah, now I might mention repentance might lead a person to be open to going to church. Repentance might lead a person to be open to talking with a Christian and finding out what must I do to be saved. But repentance is not a condition of going to church. It's not a condition of talking to someone else. The only condition of everlasting life is to believe in Jesus. However, it does make sense for people to repent because it saves their life, and if they're an unbeliever, it probably makes them more open to the claims of Christ.
Right. So this might be something that is, repentance can be part of your story of how you came to faith in Christ. We all have different stories of how we met that one condition to be born again, which is to believe in Jesus. And a lot of us had to go through this period of conviction of sin and realizing, man, I need a Savior to save me. You might have had to hit rock bottom in your life of realizing you're a sinner and having to turn away from those sins in your life before you were ready to believe that simply by believing in Jesus, you get eternal life. So we're not denying that repentance might be part of your story of how you came to faith in Christ. We're just denying that it's a co-condition with faith to be born again.
Right. It's not necessary. Everybody doesn't come to faith in Christ the same way everybody else does. You know, some child that comes to faith, is he repenting of the way he handled his toys or selfishness over his toys? The point is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
All right. So, however, there are some verses that people point to where faith and repentance do sure seem like they go together. And let me read one for you, Bob, in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And here's what it says. Now, after John was put in prison, this is John the Baptist, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Isn't that an example of Jesus saying you need to repent and believe in order to be born again?
No, and I'll tell you why. The word gospel in verse 15, repent and believe in the gospel, is explained in verse 14 that Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The word gospel means good news. Jesus was preaching the good news that the kingdom had drawn near. He was offering the kingdom to that generation of Jews. And so when he says repent and believe in the gospel, he's not talking about believe that I'm going to die on the cross, believe that I'm going to rise from the dead. Those were truths he hadn't made clear yet. He hadn't established that yet. What was clear was he is Messiah, he is the King of Israel, and he's offering the kingdom for that generation of Jews. And so he's saying, repent and believe that the good news of the kingdom is true.
Yeah, so gospel just means good news, and there's different types of good news.
Right, and the good news here is the good news that the kingdom has been offered to this generation of Jews.
And again, this is an offer made to Israel.
Right, it's corporate.
And so the repentance here is not an individual repentance. He's not speaking to one individual saying, hey, you really need to get your life straightened out. He's speaking to all of Israel to repent, to change, and to get ready for this kingdom coming.
Exactly. We've already talked about Nineveh and how they repented. The entire city, hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of people, all repented. They all put on sackcloth and ashes. The king even commanded that every animal was going to put on sackcloth and ashes.
That's right.
They all fasted. They all prayed. They all sought God. That's what he's calling for Israel to do, is the entire nation is to repent of their wicked ways, to come to Messiah, and then, of course, they are to believe in him for everlasting life. But that is not what he talks about when he says, believe in the gospel. He's just saying, believe the good news that the kingdom has drawn near.
Right. So repentance and belief in this context is not about how to be born again and spend eternity with God. It's addressed to Israel, and those are the conditions for Israel to receive the kingdom in that day.
Right, exactly.
All right, well, let's go to the next verse, problem verse that people raise, and that's Luke 16, verses 19 and 31. That is the story, or some people say the parable, of the rich man and Lazarus. They die, and they go to the underworld, and the rich man goes to the hot, unpleasant part of the underworld, Hades, and Lazarus goes to the what you might call the air-conditioned part of Hades, otherwise known as paradise or Abraham's bosom. And the rich man is being tormented there. He doesn't want his family members to suffer the same fate. And then he makes a request, Bob, doesn't he?
Yes. In verse 27, he says, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they come to this place of torment. And Abraham then says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, this is Abraham again, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So what the rich man is saying is that if Abraham would send Lazarus back from the dead, then his brothers would repent.
And that kind of implies that the rich man thinks that repentance is the condition to avoid going to the hot spot.
I think it absolutely suggests that, because notice his concern is that they will repent. But notice Abraham has a different concern. Abraham says in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. By hear them, he means believe them.
Yeah, hear it and believe it.
And he says it again in verse 31. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded.
So persuaded.
That's a synonym for faith.
That's what faith is.
Though one rise from the dead. And by the way, somebody named Lazarus did rise from the dead.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, Jesus rose from the dead. And Lazarus appeared to many, and Jesus appeared to many. And yet, the vast majority of the nation did not come to faith. So what some people do is they look at what the rich man says and says, see, Jesus is teaching here that repentance is a condition of eternal life. No, actually, the opposite is true. Jesus is showing that a person in Hades may get it wrong. Not forever. I mean, I imagine eventually the rich man in Hades will figure out that if a person simply believes in the Messiah for eternal life, they wouldn't be where he is.
So in other words, people who go to this verse, go to this passage in order to prove that, hey, repentance is a condition to be saved, they're quoting the rich man, and you're saying they really shouldn't because he has it wrong. Jesus isn't saying he has it right. Jesus is saying he has it wrong. We shouldn't assume that he has it right, basically.
I don't think we want to base our theology on what unbelievers in Sheol are saying. We want to base our theology on what the regenerate Abraham says.
Right. And there are other things in the passage that tell us that the rich man has things wrong. Like he thinks that he can cross over this gulf. So he has that part of his theology wrong.
Right.
And he thinks that Lazarus should still be treated like his slave to give him that cool drink of water. Well, he has that wrong, too. So we shouldn't assume that he suddenly has the gospel right, you know, or the message of salvation right.
That's exactly right. Although there was a time when I thought this was talking about a change of mind, etc., as I studied it more carefully, I came to realize that Jesus is not promoting the theology of this unbeliever, but he's promoting the theology of Abraham. I think one of the things we can learn from the story of the rich man and Lazarus and Abraham is that it is vitally important that we hear what God says. You see, the rich man represents the tradition of the Pharisees. He represents the traditional understanding of Judaism, which misunderstood the teaching of the Old Testament. What Abraham is rightly saying is that Moses and the prophets talked about the coming Messiah. Jesus is the coming Messiah. If you believe in him, you will escape torment, you will escape Sheol, Hades, and you will spend eternity with the Lord. So I think we all need to give up on any preconceptions we have, any traditions we have that contradict Scripture, and accept the Word of God.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great clarification. You know, throughout my life, the moments which stand out as my favorites are always those moments where I gain clarity or understanding about something that I deeply care about. And I want to tell you about a resource today that I think can do that exact thing for you in your life. It's our book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. This book has the potential to clear up some faulty thinking concerning biblical words. Come visit the bookstore at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org to get your hands on your very own copy. And while you're there, you might as well sign up for a subscription to our free Grace in Focus magazine. In addition, we have podcasts of past episodes of this show and free blog articles that can help you in your journey of growth. Maybe you'd like to help support this ministry. You can do that by giving a tax-deductible donation on the website faithalone.org. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so by emailing radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to wrap up the week by explaining the connection between repentance and confession. You don't want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.